Warm greetings and a blessing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like us all to turn our Bibles to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. We'll be looking at verse 21 to verse 26. As we continue on in this theme that we have chosen for the year, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Last Lord's Day, we considered the first half of this theme, what Paul means when he says that for me to live is Christ. But there is another side to this quote, to this motto, which we say that we can describe it as a motto which he lives by, that for him to live is Christ, at the same time also to die is gain. To die is gain? What does that mean? Gain, profit, something that is of good, of benefit, something which he thinks is something that adds an addition to him, and not something to shy away from, not something to fear, not something that is negative, but something which he sees as a gain. And that's why I have set the topic as by way of a question. Because for the most part, for us, when we think of death, well, it's not something that we want. It's not something that we look forward to. It's not something that most of us would exactly describe as a gain at all. The human tendency is, of course, to love life and to fear death. No one looks forward to death, especially in our particular climate that we are in right now, the global pandemic. Everything that we have been doing, all these measures that have been set in place, it is all for the preservation of life. The lockdowns, the restrictions, the many precautions that we are taking, it is with the desire that we will not contribute to the transmission of this virus, or if that the virus is around us, that we will protect ourselves from it. Why? Because the virus has proven that it is a dangerous one. It is one that is potentially lethal. That there are people that contract it that will fall very sick, and many have died. And every day it is reported in the news. Well, today, how many people have contracted the virus? How many are in hospital? How many in ICU? How many have died? And it is with growing alarm that we hear of the rising numbers and the numbers that are dying every single day. And can we then, in the face of all this death that surrounds us, be able to prove truthfully and with full conviction say, to die is gain. To die is gain. Well, Paul was able to say that. And he was able to say, not just in here, but numerous other instances as well, to say that he is ready for death. He's looking forward even to death. How can we say that? Is not our life from God, and the life that we live, it is something that we ought to cherish? And how can we say that to die is a gain? Well, you see, Paul had this perspective that he shares with us in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It is a perspective that is, of course, very much at odds with the common ideal, with the common expectation in society today. Most cultures would equate long life to a blessed life, to a prosperous life, as something that is seen as good. And if you die early, or if you die young, you die out of turn, well, that is unfortunate, unlucky. It's not something that people relish the thought of, not something that people enjoy to speak of. It's definitely not something which is seen as a gain. But yet Paul could say that with absolute certainty, confidence, and conviction that as much as I live for Christ, well, I look upon death as something that is of benefit, of something that is a gain to me. Why was that so? It was really because of the relationship that he had with God. Because of the life that he lived for God, and with the confidence and assurance to know what will happen after he leaves this earth, after he dies a physical death. Because he realized that his life, the life that he had, is not about him, it is about for Christ. And therefore in death also, it is not about him, but it is of the life that he can have, or the future and the eternity that he can have, well, again, with Christ. And so it was because he was living for Christ that he was able to then have the second half of that statement, to say to die is gain. That's why I say it's two halves of the same coin, two sides of the same matter. Because to him to live is Christ, therefore to him to die is gain. That's how he lived. And these are the wonderful perspectives that he had about his walk with the Lord. That he could have this joy even as he was languishing, I remind you, in prison. As a threat of death did hang over him, he was in prison. And any moment they could decide that he is guilty of whatever crimes that he was accused of, and they could put him to death. That was the situation that he was in. And yet he said, no, I rejoice, and I do rejoice, that all the things that have happened unto me, that have fallen out to me, have happened rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. He says, all these things are good. And if so be that I will never leave this prison, and if so be that it will end in my death, still he's able to say that this is all good. And so he did not fear death. What a man of God. And so as we consider Paul and his life, his thoughts, they are laid before us in these few verses. He shares with us his conviction, his thoughts concerning his death and his life. And from that we can learn also how we can also have such godly perspectives. That as we look to the prospect of our physical mortality, the fact that we could at any moment pass on, realize that our lives are in the hands of God. And death is not something that we need to fear at all. But death is something that we can look to with blessed hope, with confidence, with assurance to know that to die is gain. So why, we ask, why? Why was Paul able to make this statement? What do you mean when he said to die is gain? Was he suicidal? Was it that he dreaded this life? He found it so distasteful that he wanted to leave? Because sometimes there are people that think that way. And that is not right. That is not normal at all. Paul was not suicidal. He was not depressed. He was not, you know, thinking, oh, what a pathetic situation I'm in. I'm in jail. I'm being so badly treated. Life is miserable. It's better if I just end this. I'll be done with it. Be done with my suffering once and for all. That was not at all what Paul was speaking of here. You see, the reason why he said to die is gain, firstly, we see, is because he can be with Christ. Simply put, because he can be with Christ. And that was the gain that he was speaking about. Why was he able to make that statement? The first simple thought is that because he can be with Christ. And that's what he said here in the first three verses here. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And he explained the dilemma set before him, verse 22. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. I know not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And in these two verses, what we see is that strong relationship, that strong yearning and devotion that Paul has for Christ. the reason why he could look and stare death in the face without fear, but instead to look forward to it, was because he had this firm conviction that death, well, what does death mean? It is that I can be with Christ, to be with the Lord whom he loves so dearly. And that was what caused him to describe this dilemma set before him as gain. And so in a way, it was a happy choice. It is not a sort of a push and a pull sort of thing where we see, oh, life was so miserable, it was pushing him towards death, and he says, I don't love this life at all, and I want to die. And death became increasingly a promising, a relishing prospect because of the promise of eternity and of heaven. No, it is not that Paul dreaded his life. No, he described it in most positive terms. He said, for me to live in the flesh, I mean, this is the fruit of my labor. What does he mean by that? He's talking about the fact that in this physical life, as he lives for the Lord, well, there is fruit to be had. And that, in a nutshell, really was the purpose of his life, of any Christian life, that we go forth and bring much fruit, that we bear fruit for the Lord. What does it mean to bear fruit? Well, that is really the result of the life that we live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a fruit, isn't it? That's what a plant would do, a tree, a fruit tree. As it you know, the purpose of a fruit tree is, you know, the way or the reason why farmers would cultivate it is so that in receiving the sunlight, the water, the nutrition, everything that a plant needs to grow, I mean, that growth will be channeled towards the producing and the bearing of fruit. And that's what you're pleasing to the farmer that cultivates that fruit tree, that there is a result at the end of all that growth. And that is our Christian purpose. Oftentimes, that is how our Christian life is depicted. And we will go forth and bring much fruit for the Lord. And that's what Paul is describing here as well. He says, what is the life of all about? That if I continue on in the flesh, right, if I remain alive, basically, right, that I continue to be on this earth, well, that's, what am I here for? What am I looking forward to? Well, it's the fruit of my labor. And if I continue to remain in this life, well, what can happen is that I can continue to bring forth much fruit. And that's a good thing, right? And you know, coming round again back to the same idea, for me to live is Christ. What am I living for? I'm living so that I can have the fruit of my labor to bear forth much fruit. And that is what this life is all about. But then he says, but what is the alternative? He knew that the alternative to life is death, right? And so if I remain in the flesh, well, there is the fruit of my labor. But yet he says, what I shall choose, I wot not. He says, between the two, I'm not sure. I can't really quite tell which is actually better. You see? As I said earlier, it's not that he was being pushed away from life towards death and his life was so hard, he didn't want to live anymore. No. These are the thoughts of a depressed man, but that was not what Paul was. You see, the reason why we must be able to say with Paul that to die is gain is not because life is so miserable. That is not the right way of thinking. Sometimes, yes, in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our weariness, we may be tempted to think, death can be a release from all these pains and struggles and sufferings. And there are people that will speak of euthanasia or assisted suicide, assisted death. And I believe these are some of the things that, you know, governments all around the world are discussing, debating. And I believe it is an issue that will come up soon, I think, even in our state government. Will we legalize such things? And the reason behind that is they say, well, there are people that are, you know, in such a state of suffering that they no longer want to live. They want to end it all. They want to leave on their own terms. They want to leave gracefully. And when they hear of a diagnosis of a particularly lethal or fatal a disease, one that will say, oh, you only have a life expectancy of a few months, and they know that their health is going to deteriorate. He says, no, I just want to end it first. And so they ask for assisted suicide. Oh, you know, I can just press the button, or someone presses the button for me, or I'm injected with some sort of chemical that I can have a very, very comfortable death. We know that that is not right. That is sinful. To say that I just want to end my life, to be in control of my own destiny. No, that is not what it means when Paul says to die is gain. He's not saying that, oh, I'm so miserable right now, I want to leave. Not at all. Because what he's saying is that, you see, for me to live, it's good. It's Christ. And as long as I remain in the flesh, I will be able to continue to bear fruit for the Lord. And that's good. And that's why he says, I wot not. I know not, right? The meaning of this word wot is Old English for know. He says, what I shall choose, I don't know. And I am in a strait betwixt two. He says, I am being sort of compressed on both sides. That's the meaning of I'm in a strait. It's like I'm being pressed in on both sides, and both are equally relishing prospects to continue to live. Because as I live, I'm daily walking with the Lord, I'm daily serving Him. And I'm able to bring forth much fruit for him in this present life, and that's a good thing. But yet to die is also a gain, because I can be with Christ. And so in a way you can say that was a happy dilemma that he had. But yet we know that this is not a choice for us to make. You know, when he said, what I shall choose, I wot not, is not that he actually had a choice. It is not that he was being forced to make a decision, right? Again, we want to make that clear. When he says that he is in a strait betwixt two, it's not that, you know, he was on the brink of making a decision. He was either going to allow himself or kill himself, or he wanted to stay. He was just sharing his thoughts, you see. He was not saying that he wants to take his own life. And he was not saying that he had a choice to make. But he's just saying that as he considers and meditates upon the two prospects, right, whether of life and of death, he says both are good. Both are good. And you know, that is what the Christian's thinking must be as well. That if the Lord will, we shall live, that's a good thing, that I can continue to serve him. But if so be that it is the will of God that he will take my life, we must be able to, with full assurance of faith, be able to say that that is good as well. And that is why, as Christians, we are told that we must not fear death. It must not be a prospect that is something that is terrifying to us, that is something that we dread and we want to avoid at all costs. Again, we know that this does not mean that we be reckless with our lives. We just do all sorts of dangerous and risky things because we say, after all, our lives are in the hand of God. And if I die, I'm going to go to heaven. So what's the big deal? Let me do all these crazy, dangerous stunts. No, not at all. Of course, we know that as Christians, we must cherish life. We must look upon life highly and valuable. And thou shalt not kill, and that includes ourselves. We must not put our lives in danger or to do anything that is potentially life-threatening, because that is not a responsible use of our lives. And so Paul was not saying that he had a choice or he was being forced to make a choice. Remember, Paul was writing to assure the Christians at Philippi, because they feared for his life. They knew that he was in prison, and they knew that the authorities had the ability at any moment to end his life, to kill him. And eventually that's what happened. Not during this particular imprisonment, but during his second imprisonment. After he wrote the book of Titus and 1 and 2 Timothy. And that will be perhaps a decade later. And so he did eventually actually die in prison. But not this time. But yet he knew, and the Christians at Philippi knew that his life was actually hanging in the balance. But yet Paul wanted to write to assure him that it's okay. They don't have to worry about him. Because for him to live is Christ. And yes, he has a desire to remain, and he would later on explain that, well, he had the conviction, he had the confidence that, well, that is actually what the will of God for him is. Nevertheless, if it were so be that he would have to die, it's okay as well. It's not a problem. Both, he says, are good. And that's why he says it's a strait betwixt two. He's like, I'm being pressed on both sides. And you know, he's okay, he's fine, he's happy with both. God's choice. He was just sharing his thoughts. He is opening up his heart to the Christians at Thessalonica, sharing with them and telling them that, well, death is not a prospect that he fears at all, and therefore they were not to worry for him. He was just giving them a glimpse into the desires, the thoughts, and the motivations of. But yet he says there is a desire that he has to depart. He's prepared to die. And that's what we read just now in Acts 21 also. Remember, as he was on his way to Jerusalem, he knew of all the dangers that will await him as he returns to Jerusalem. Right, in Acts chapter 21, that was towards the end of his final missionary journey, the third one. And as he returned, as he made his way back to Jerusalem, he made stops along the way. At Miletus, at Ephesus, at Miletus, and then at Caesarea. And along the way, at each point, he said, I know not what awaits me, except that in every city that I go to, the Holy Spirit is reminding him that bonds and afflictions await him. That's what he testified to the elders of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. And then now here again in Acts chapter 21, in the passage that we read just now, there was this man, this prophet known as Agabus, who took his girdle and then bound himself very vividly before him to make an illustration, to show and make a point to say that, you see, look, just as I am bound with your girdle, the man that owns this girdle will be bound hands and feet in Jerusalem as well. And when Paul's fellow people that were accompanying him on his journey heard that, they pleaded with him and says, please, Paul, don't go. Don't go, Paul. We don't want you to be arrested. We want you to continue with us. Don't go, Paul, because when you get arrested, who knows what is going to happen? And we know that in Jerusalem, the Jews were waiting to kill him, and they had a plot, a plan to kill him. Time and again, the Sanhedrin Council, they wanted to ambush him. They wanted to kill him. And continually, they made a plea to the Roman authorities, to Felix, to Festus, the governors, to say that Paul must die because of all the crimes that he had committed. They wanted to kill him. And yet what did Paul say? He says, why do you weep? You try to break my heart. You're making it so difficult for me, Paul was saying. For I am ready not only to be bound, or not to be bound only, but to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul was very consistent. He says, I'm prepared to do so. Why? Because I don't fear death. In fact, he says, to die is gain. Or, as how he explains it in verse 23, for I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. A desire to depart. And that was a strong word that he used here for the word desire. It speaks of a strong yearning, a longing even. And that was daily what he would meditate upon. That he was looking forward to that day when he can be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. Why? Because he had that confidence, that certainty, that absent with the body is present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Absent from the body, that means when he physically dies, his spirit, his soul leaves the body. He will be absent from this physical body And straight away, he shall be with Christ, be with the Lord. And that was the assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the thief hanging alongside on the cross. He says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You will be with me in heaven. Why? Because we're both going to die. We're both going to physically die on this cross. And the moment we leave, we will be together in eternity in heaven. And so Paul had the absolute certainty. And that's why he says, it's good, it's better even, actually. Because as I leave, I will be with Christ. And he says, that is far better. Because he will be able to be with the Lord whom he loves so dearly. Because as much as we love God and we love the Lord Jesus Christ here on this earth, yet we know that the sin still remains, right? And what is sin? Sin continues to remain that sort of obstacle between us and God and having that perfect communion with him. Yes, we can enjoy communion with the Lord here on this earth. Yet we know that weakness of this sinful body remains a wedge that will continually drive a separation between us and God. Yes, we still have that relationship, that fellowship continues to be hampered. Our prayers are not always pleasing to the Lord. Why? Because sin will be there, and as long as sin remains in us, he will not hear our prayers. There'll be times in which we will not want to read the Bible or will not be able to serve him acceptably. Why? Because of our own lack of discipline, our own weakness, our own sins. And so we know that as long as we remain in this physical body, we will not be able to have that perfect communion, which we can and will have when we reach heaven. Paul himself knew the struggle. He shared about it in Romans chapter 7. He says there are many things which he knew he ought to do, he does not. And things that he ought not to do, he does. And that there's this war raging within his members. The old man that continually tries to surface and do the wrong thing. And yet with the desire of the heart, he wants to serve the Lord and to obey God's word. And I trust that that is the struggle that continues on in all of us. And yes, sometimes that can be frustrating. In fact, it ought to be frustrating. It ought to be something that we are continually struggling over. And yes, for that reason, we know that to depart, to be with Christ, it is far better. Because when that happens, these struggles with sin will end and we will be with Christ forever and ever, which is far better. Because when we reach heaven, there will be no more sin. Everything will be wiped clean. We in eternity will be immortal and incorruptible. That means not able to be corrupted with sin. Is that not something that we desire? Something that we look forward to? Far, far better. And so all through his life, that was what Paul looked forward to. That blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus. As long as he lived, he will live for the Lord. But he knew that to die is gain. Why? Because he will be with the Lord forever and ever. So how about for us? What is our thoughts concerning death? Can we be able to stare death in the face and say, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? The world, yes, they have much to fear about death because they don't know what awaits them. They have no certainty, no confidence. Or perhaps they believe that, oh, death is the end of all things. And once they die, there will be no more, nothing. But we don't have to have that uncertainty. We have the absolute confidence and the promise in the Word of God that absent from the body is present with the Lord, and therefore there is nothing to be afraid of at all, nothing. Nothing. But yet at the same time, while he talked about his death, he also talked about his living. Why was he able to make that statement, for to die is gain? Well, firstly, because upon death he can be with Christ. But the second reason was actually in the present, he was already living for Christ. And I'll put forward to you that death is not something that we look forward to unless in this present life we are already living for Christ. Because you see, you know, sometimes we think about death, or even Christians, you tell them about death. You tell them that, well, you know, this is something good, something that we're looking forward to. But then you explain heaven to them, and you tell them, you see, in heaven, God will be there, and we can be there forever and ever, for eternity. Let me look at you and say, what's the draw? What's the attraction? What's the big deal? What's so good about death? And if you explore further and you ask, perhaps you realize that, you know, in this present life, they are not living for Christ. There isn't that abiding relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, you tell them that you can be with Christ forever. He says, you know, that doesn't sound all too attractive to me. Why? Because in this present life, they are not living for Christ. They're living for self. And they love the world so much. He said, to leave? That means I leave this world? No, I much prefer to choose this world than to choose Christ. But only if you are presently living for Christ and you love Christ dearly, that you really look forward to be with him, right? And that's what every Christian must have. That our heart's desire in this present life is to live for Christ. And only then will death be to you a wonderful reunion with the Lord Jesus Christ. That I can be with Christ, which is far, far better. It's only if you want to be there, if you want to be with Christ, that makes death a relishing prospect. Now, if you love this place so much, then what are we, what's there to look forward to, or what's there to yearn for in going to heaven? And so he said he lives for Christ. And that's what we can see from verse 24 to verse 26. As much as his heart's desire was to be with Christ, nevertheless, he knew that the reality was not that, you know, he can't just leave. He can't just, you know, shirk all responsibilities and take his own life. Of course, that is not a godly and a good and a right thing to do at all. You see, a person who yearns for death with all the right reasons, it is also a person who will, in the present, desire to live for Christ. You know, he was not just uselessly lying on the bed and saying, oh, I just want to die, take my life, get over with this present life, and I can be in heaven forever. He says, no. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh, to remain in the flesh, it, he says, is more needful for you. He knew that there is still much work to be done. Because he had meaning in this life, he had meaning in death as well. And that's what we must understand. You look at the words of the Apostle Paul and you say, I don't feel that way. I don't feel that to die is gain at all. Perhaps the question we must ask then is, are you presently living for Christ? What is the purpose of your life right now? Because if your purpose is so firmly centered and fixed on the things of the world, of course you don't want to leave. There's still much that you desire in this world. Still much that you want to accomplish and seek after. The pleasures, the excitement of this life, maybe even friends and family, which are not bad things to desire. But yet, what is the purpose, the true purpose of your present existence here on this earth? If all you care for and all you live for are the things of this world, then of course it's going to be hard to leave. But if in this present life you already have eternal values, eternal desires, that your affections are on things above and not things present, then yes, you are looking forward to life after death, eternal life. And so he shares his priorities of his present life. He says, all I want to do in this present life is really to fulfill the calling that God has set for him. That was his purpose. And he says, well, because I'm presently living for Christ, that's why I can look forward to death. And so he says, nevertheless, right, to abide in the flesh, remain in the flesh, that is much more needful for him. He knew that as much as he desired to leave and to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, he says, but there was still much for him to do on this earth. Because practically we know that, you know, for all of us, our death, while it may be a gain for us personally, we look forward to it, but it has a lot of impacts and repercussions on the lives of the people around us, those that are still living. And yes, for a lot of us, that is the reason why we don't want to leave. You may say, well, it's really not that I love this life so much, but I mean, there are people around me that need me. Family, for example. Parents. You know that if you leave, then what will to become of your children? And you have that burden, that concern. You say that if I leave suddenly, well, who will take care of my children? Will they have the upbringing that I can provide and I desire to provide for them? How about my loved ones? How about those whom I have not yet shared the gospel with? Those that I'm still praying for? Who will be able to share the gospel with them? How about my friends? Those who love me dearly? Of course, they'll be sad and distraught at my passing. Paul understood that as well. And so he's saying that nevertheless, you know, as much as it is my personal desire that I can leave and depart and to be with Christ, nevertheless, I know that to abide in the flesh is so much more needful for you. It's important for you. And you know, he's not just sharing his sentiments concerning death to say that, oh, you know, I'll be so much better off if I just leave. No, he knew that ultimately that is actually God. Yet at the same time, I am also compelled by my love for you to be with the Lord. I love you, Christians at Philippi, as well. And I knew that, and he's saying that he knows the calling that the Lord has for him to abide, to remain in the flesh. That means to continue to live this life because, well, God has a calling for him. That was what God wanted him to do, to bear my name, as you remember when we looked at Acts chapter 9, to bear his name before the Gentiles, before the children of Israel, before kings even. And he had accomplished a fair amount of that already, but yet he knew that the Lord still had work for him to do. And so he says, well, as much as I desire to depart, I want to go and visit you there in Philippi also. Now we see this selflessness of the Apostle Paul. As he's willing to put aside all of self, to deny self, to take up the cross daily and to follow him. And that was what the words of the Lord Jesus Christ were in Luke 9:23, and that's how we must live by as well. You see, the purposes of this life is really not about what I want, but what about is about what the Lord wants of me. And so he knew what the Lord wanted of him, to abide, to remain in the flesh, to continue living. Because it was needful for them. And that was really to fulfill the calling that he had. You understand that really most important about this life is that we obey God. We fulfill the calling that he has for us, that daily we are seeking. Lord, what will thou have me to do? What will thou have me to do? That was the question that the Apostle Paul asked at the point of his salvation. And that would have been the question that he will continue to ask all the days of his life. And all of us have callings. All of us have roles and responsibilities that we fulfill on this earth. Now, do we do it as unto the Lord? To be that Christian husband, Christian wife, Christian parent, Christian employee, Christian employer, if you're a boss. To be that Christian student, Christian sibling. In all these things, we must understand that to abide and remain is more needful in order for us to fulfill all these callings that the Lord has for us, of our obligations to our children, our spouse, our parents, our siblings, our employers, our teachers, our colleagues. There are spiritual obligations that we have, that we are placed on this earth to be a witness and a testimony for the Lord to all these people in our lives, to be an encouragement to them, to serve them. Do we see that calling? Do we have the desire in this life to do that to the best of our abilities? Because it's only when we live for Christ in all these aspects of our lives that we can look forward to death. Because we are doing all these things for Christ, knowing that one day we shall see Him and we will be with Him. And so he spoke of his calling. And what was the calling? Now, specifically in verse 25, he elaborates. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. He says, I want to remain so that I can build you up in the faith. Your furtherance of faith. That's the same word that he spoke of, the furtherance of the gospel, the furtherance of the faith. That I can add to your faith. That I can help in the development and growth and the maturity of your faith and your joy as well. You see the selfless nature of the Apostle Paul. I'm living and I'm so much concerned about your edification to build you up in the faith. I'm concerned about your joy, your spiritual state. That was what was more needful. And so he says, that is my conviction. That was my confidence. That I will abide and remain, I will continue with you all for your faith, for the furtherance of your faith, for the joy of your faith. And that was what Paul wanted, that his life is really all about service, about the will of God. And it was for their advance and for their profit, for their gain. And so he says that out of the love that he has for them, he has a desire that he will not yet depart. All right, and so again, he's just sharing his heart. He's saying that while there may be that prospect of death that is hanging over him, he says, I am very much prepared to face death without fear, without flinching. And that was the Apostle Paul. But yet he says, but yet I know, and it seems that the Lord had revealed to him that he will not have to die, at least in this particular imprisonment, and that in time to come, he will be released. And when he is released, he was writing to the Christians at Philippi to say that, well, I have this hope and I have this expectation that eventually I will be able to return to Philippi. And I know what a great rejoicing it will be for both of us, right? That I will return and that will be to the furtherance of your joy and faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. He says, I know that you are looking forward to my return. And, you know, he was not writing as a sort of a boast. He was not saying that, oh, you know, I'm so great that when I come, all of you will be so happy. And he's sharing, he understood their sentiment. Because you remember, he had received a letter from the Christians at Philippi. They were sent through Epaphroditus, and he had received the gift they had collected, and he felt their love. And he, of course, in turn, also loved them very, very dearly. We see that in the opening verses of this epistle. He says, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with joy. He says, I know you. And I have this confidence that the Lord Jesus Christ, he which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He was very certain of their salvation. And so it was a delightful fellowship that he shared with the Christians at Philippi. And so he says, you know, I have the every expectation that eventually I'm going to see you. And that will be to the abundance of rejoicing that you may have in Christ Jesus, a good sort of rejoicing. He says, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the day that we can be reunited. Therefore, he was assuring them that, yes, as much as his desire was that he would depart and to be with Christ, but he's not going anywhere anytime soon. Now, don't worry. I'm going to be with you, and it will be to the abundance of our joy. And that was the love that he had for his fellow believers. That as much as he loved the Lord and he wanted to be with the Lord, at the same time, he very much loved his fellow brethren, the Christians at Philippi. And he says, I very much want to be with you for the furtherance of our joys, their joy and his joy. That's what it means to live for Christ, isn't it? We are not living for ourselves. We are living for the service that he has, the calling that he has for us. We are living for the sakes of the people around us, that we can build them up in the faith, especially for those in the midst of us that are perhaps not yet mature fully, our children, our friends, the people that need us the most. And we will continue to strive and to live for them. That's why Christ doesn't take us home immediately. He leaves us here on this earth. He leaves the young, he leaves the old. And the old, the elderly, they have a great purpose to fulfill as well, because they have the experience of living the life of faith. And they have lived on this earth for many years, and they have served the Lord for many years. And with the life that they have, they can now be that more effective testimony for the Lord. And they can now encourage the younger ones, the generations that come after them. There is a great purpose that they fulfill. That's why they're allowed to remain on this earth. And that's what Paul shared of what he understood, why he was continuing to abide and to remain, because it is more needful for them, so that he can be of encouragement to them for the furtherance of their faith, of their spiritual growth. That's what it meant for him to live for Christ. And that's why he was able to say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Because what I'm doing in the present prepares him for the life that is to come. Because what he is concerned about most in the present is what he can do for the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, death, of course, became something that he dearly and sincerely looks forward to. Because all his life he lived for Christ, knowing that one day when he departs this earth, he will be with Christ forever and ever. And so as we look at the heart of Paul, look at the way that he shared his heart, do we see similar sentiments in our lives as well? Because oftentimes, you know, the thoughts and the desires of our hearts are such a far cry from how Paul is like. You know, the sort of things that we think about each day, we are so often caught up with the trifling, trivial affairs of this life, our selfish desires, our fleshly lusts, our love for the world. So much so that it clouds out any desire or thoughts that we have for Christ, that when we look at death, you know, it's something that we really don't want to happen. Why would I want to leave? Because I love and enjoy the things of this world far too much. And so we have to ask ourselves, am I really living for the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I really living with eternal values in view, with the hope and the prospect that one day I can be with Christ forever and ever? Because a lot of times when we look at the Apostle Paul and his testimony, his thoughts, his desire, the strength of the faith that he had in the Lord, and we compare that with ourselves, how stark a contrast it is, isn't it? At least for myself, I know that many of the times, you know, the issues that he contends with and the thoughts that he has is such a far cry from the thoughts that I have and the desires of my heart. And we go through just the least bit of struggles, and we are ready to throw the towel and give up. Do we really look forward to death? Do we really think of death as a gain? And we ask, do I have a desire to be with Christ, which is far better? And am I living for Christ in the present, such that I'm growing in my love for him, and I'm looking forward to the day that I can be with him forever and ever? The conviction that the Apostle Paul had, is given to us in a passage in 1 Corinthians 15. I mentioned that just now. I'd like to close by reading this to you. 1 Corinthians 15:55 to 58. And after he spoke of the reality of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and how one day we can be resurrected as well, he says, O death, where is thy sting? Death is no longer there something to be feared. O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. He says the reason why death is something fearful is because if we are continuing on in sin, and we know that the wages of sin is death, then yes, death is a terrifying prospect. But if we know that our sins have been conclusively dealt with through the Lord Jesus Christ, and through his resurrection, we have the hope of eternal life, then death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? It no longer holds any threat to us, because sin has been dealt with. Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, my beloved brethren, because you no longer fear death, you are now able to live life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And may that be the encouragement and exhortation to all of us, that we do not fear death, because we know what awaits us, and in the present, we will live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our most loving, gracious, eternal Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the Apostle Paul and the desire that he had in this life to live for Christ. And therefore he did not fear death. He could say these words, that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. May that be the reality of our lives as well, that we also look upon life as a life lived for Christ, and we look at death as no longer something that we have to fear, no longer something that we dread, something that we have a desire for, because we know that we can be with Christ, which is far better. We thank thee, and may you place this conviction in our hearts. In the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.